This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Couple more things on Rowdy real quick. Someone texts in, Peguero is 23, not 30, be honest at least. Yeah, I got my P players messed up. Palacios is 29 years old, which is just about the same age as Rowdy Tellez. So I don't want to hear, oh, young guy, got to give a young guy a shot. Palacios is the same age. It's not that young. And someone else texted in, that guy who said that Rowdy's got a negative 0.4 war, he played 156 games and got 421 plate appearances over young guys. What's one more game? That's where I am on it. Like, what's one more game? Well, what one more, you know what one more game is? 200,000 bucks. What happened? What happened to me there? Holy cheesy crackers. Wow. It is 7:07. Time for me to get a brain scan, but also time for you to get to Tom Friday's for juicy steaks, meats, and more. Enough about the Pirates, though. It's a Wednesday. Steelers are 3-0, but they got their issues. They got their problems. They got their holes on the roster, right, Ben? Roethlisberger on football and talking about wide receiver two.
I worry about receiver, like another guy, another playmaker. And I know that people want to see, is it Robin Austin. Wilson?
Calvin Austin.
Made a great play today. Yeah. Great play today. He can run, but he's not your two.
No, I'm not sure
because I haven't seen it. I don't know. Is it Roman? Yeah. I'm not sure Michigan. Roman Wilson's your needle mover. I don't know. Is he a number two? Is he a two in the NFL?
Listen, I'm on Football in Seven right now. I ain't going to let Ben sit up here and lie to y'all, man. Listen, we need a number two receiver.
There you go. So there's Ben, there's Marquise Pounce. You need a number two wide receiver. Mike Tomlin, when will Roman Wilson be active?
He just got to keep working. It is very difficult to get on a moving train. All you got to do is look at Dean Lowry, for example. There's a veteran guy that missed a substantial amount of training camp, and it was a third game before he got a hat, although he's been healthy. And so that gets multiplied when you're talking about a guy that has no NFL experience like Roman. And so my advice to Roman is to keep working and take that opportunity when that door is left ajar and to be ready when it is.
Not really the game that you're going to complain about the number two wide receiver. You know what I mean? Like, okay, got to get Roman, and I'd like to see Roman Wilson play, and I think he's going to help this football team. But Mike Tomlin can fall back on, hey, Roman's got stuff to learn. Scotty Miller's made some winning plays.
Yeah.
He's been a gunner. He's been an emergency holder. He had a huge key third down pickup in the game. Your longest play of the season was from Calvin Austin the third. So, yeah, I don't think the need for wide receiver two goes away, but Mike Tomlin's not going to be singing the praises of a rookie after that game in particular, I guess is what I'm saying there.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, I think that, I mean, he's a third-round pick. You know, he was a third-round pick for a reason, and that's not to, you know, talk bad about a third round pick, but he's not a guy that's going to come in there and be a game breaker. I mean, off of an injury that you only had like a week's worth of camp in your rookie season. Like, it takes time. There's so many steps to getting prepared for the actual season as a young player. You need you need rookie minicamp, you need OTAs, you need minicamp, you need training camp, you need preseason games, and then you can figure it out and have to figure it out on the fly whenever the regular season starts. He's missed, you know, majority of the training camp. It's going to take a long time for him to even scratch this lineup to be a part of it, let alone effective in it. It's a very, very tough process for a young player it that doesn't have the Malik Nabers
right
embodiment. Like Malik Nabers, I mean, a freak of nature, first round, top 10 pick. Like, okay, like you're kind of pounding the table. Like, when's this guy healthy? If it was that, but you're talking about a guy that it's going to take time. Like, he's not going to go out there and be guns a blazing and score 5 touchdowns for you this year.
Rome Odunze goes out, has over 100 yards and a touchdown. Now, he ain't that guy.
No.
He is going to be a useful piece. I like the draft pick at the time. I like the player now. If you are a Steelers fan pounding the table saying you need Roman Wilson, that does underscore the need for a number two. Like, if you are that desperate to get this particular young guy back into the lineup, and I guess not even back, but into the lineup for the first time, that does tell you you need a guy.
Yes.
And they would tell you they need a guy. The last we heard was from Jay Glazer that the Steelers basically had the deal done, and you had Kyle Shanahan run upstairs to nix the deal at the last second because they wanted to get it done with Brandon Ayuk, and Brandon Ayuk finally came to his senses, I guess, and said, no, I'm going to stay here. Like, they want a wide receiver. They had Mike Williams in here. They want a wide receiver. So I think everyone needs to be patient here. Roman Wilson will help. Roman Wilson is not the answer. Here are 10 guys that are free agents at the end of the year. Some of them are not going to work for obvious reasons. T. Higgins. Like, how far are the Bengals going to fall out of this thing? Would they be willing to trade in division? Probably not. But you'll see where they go. Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay, Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper, Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson. Probably not going to do that one again, though he had 2 touchdowns with the Red Rifle BB gun playing. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, DeAndre Hopkins, Darius Slayton. I think one of those guys will be a Steeler. I'm not sure which. I can rule a couple out, but I don't think they view Roman Wilson as the guy who's going to fix their wide receiver two spot, and I know that they know it's an issue. They're going to get a guy, I think.
I hope it's not the last couple guys that you named, because those guys are my age.
D-Hop and Darius Slayton.
And
Mike Williams.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I don't, like, you need some youth. Well, the perfect fit for me out of that, if we want to play that game, is Chris Godwin. Like, he is a production machine. He's a machine. And he's not necessarily a number one either. Like, he's a 1A2. And that'd be a great compliment to George Pickens. A great compliment to George Pickens. I mean, he's just a machine. That's the type of receiver that you need to look for. Or now that you signed Cam Hayward, and if he has a good year and he looks healthy, I mean, it does, you know, you're still going to evaluate. But, I mean, you know, defensive tackle doesn't become the biggest priority, I think. And maybe you draft another one higher. I don't know.
You could do that.
I mean, what other positions do you need, really, next year?
Yeah, I mean, I thought safety would be something. But, and then at slot corner, I think you feel pretty good about your starting corners. If Cam Sutton comes in middle portion right of the year, plays well, you just sign him to another cheap deal. Because that's the Steelers would be the one team that would be willing to do that. So you're not going to have to spend money there. Offensive line, you're probably not going to touch.
Nope.
Fautanu, Broderick Jones, the bounce back. Maybe Dan Moore walks, probably does walk, but they seem to like McCormick. That's why he's been rotating with Spencer Anderson. Yeah, wide receivers absolutely on the board. No question about that. No question about that. Now, in order to get a guy like Chris Godwin, you need to see the Bucks fall on their face. Step one last week, took care of it last week, find a way to lose to Denver Broncos.
I love a core of like maybe a first or second round receiver. George Pickens and Roman Wilson as the third. Like,
yes.
That's a great core.
Yes. Roman Wilson, when he was drafted, everyone's thought was, okay, you go get an Ayuk or you go get somebody else, and he's your three. Now you're cooking with gas. Mm-hmm. Now you're feeling really good. Rest assured, I think they know what they need, and you don't go up until the regular season and then just stop needing the thing you thought you needed all off season long, like, especially when the guy that they have penciled in as their number two has 2 catches for 15 yards right, and just got poked in the eye. Like, Jim Rutherford used to say it all the time. The roster that you start the season with isn't the roster you're going to be going into the playoffs with. And the NFL's more like that than ever before, too. Omar Khan, I think, is a smart guy. Swung and missed this offseason. Created a hole, has swung and missed in trying to replace that. But they've got cap space here, and they've got cap space for a reason. 412-928-9370. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We're going to react to a lot more of what Mike Tomlin had to say yesterday. But coming up next, bang, Doran, I got hit in the face with something. Not bird poop. Got hit in the face. Had an epiphany. And it has to do with the guy we were just talking about, Omar Khan. I want to run it by you.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
One last thing on wide receiver, Doran. I hate to call a guy's injury a blessing in disguise, but you do wonder how much Calvin Austin would have been targeted if Van Jefferson were healthy. I'd like to explore the Calvin Austin thing a little bit more. I'd like to see Pat Freiermuth more involved, and he should have caught a ball on Sunday. Tough catch, I'm sure. I mean, you probably don't see the ball the whole way through. I mean, he fit that thing. Fields did through a keyhole. I'd like to see Freiermuth more involved, but if I'm starting to divvy up target share from wide receivers, obviously Pickens should be the most highly targeted. I'm okay with Austin being two.
Yeah.
Until they find a guy.
He gets open.
Does he?
Yeah. I mean, as a smaller guy, as a quick guy, as a fast guy, I mean, it's hard to cover. He does get open, and he can run the whole gamut of the route tree. I mean, not as necessary like the outs. I mean, not the outs, but like the comebacks on the outside of the routes. But I mean, if you get him on the move on like over routes and, you know, post routes where he just has to put his foot in the ground, or even just kind of option routes underneath, like he can do all of that and create separation that he creates that yak yards that quarterbacks love.
And he can take it the distance.
Exactly.
Which, look, they've been a methodical offense for years now. And if you got a guy who could be electric touching the football, try to get him the ball more. Be creative with it. And I do think Arthur Smith is pretty good at that. And they want to play more tight ends too. And Michael Pruitt was down for the game, so things may well change. And they are going to change. And they have changed week to week. But next game, give Calvin Austin second most targets. Texter. Rowdy's story is all over the TV. I know it's more a football station compared to blah, 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 blah. We talked about Rowdy for half hour.
Yes, we just did.
Relax.
I love how people turn on and then they hear something and act like that the other things haven't been talked about.
Right.
Like, come on, have some awareness.
Go to the Odyssey app.
There you go.
AUDACY. The chaptering feature. Callis does a wonderful job with that. It's what I use all the time. You want Rowdy? We got Rowdy for you.
Yeah.
But the Steelers are 3-0, and here's where my epiphany comes in, Dorn. If I would tell you this before the season, you would not tell me that the Steelers are 3-0. Best offensive lineman, sixth highest paid player, out. Isaac Samo. Playing their backup quarterback. Playing mostly without their most explosive running back. He has not been his usual Jalen Warren self. Without the seventh highest paid player in the key moments of last game, who's now going to miss a few weeks, and that's Alex Highsmith. Without your first round pick starting right tackle for the entire season, and without the wide receiver that you expected to be your number three going into the year in Roman Wilson. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six prominent players on this team have either not been healthy for the whole time or have been dinged up and now will not be healthy for the next few weeks in the case of a few. And yet here they are at 3-0, and I'm not concerned at all. It's not good for Troy Faltanu. Obviously, for the development of his career, he looks like he's going to be a really good one. But I'm not concerned at all from a winning football game standpoint, because I do think that Omar Khan's done a wonderful job putting this team together and fortifying it with depth. Think about that. They are the number one team in the standings in the AFC right now with all that stuff going on. And I feel like it's a total afterthought for most people. Like, we haven't been spending a lot of time on the injuries. Oh, just plug in Nick Herbig. Oh, Broderick Jones will just be the right tackle. Oh, okay, Calvin Austin's going to score a 50-plus yard touchdown. Oh, Najee Harris and Cordarrelle Patterson, they got the running game covered. It's just sort of like the standard is the standard thing actually means something when you've got good players behind the starters.
They've really done a good job with the depth, and they've really done a good job with, you know, drafting the right rookies to play significant time early. Even if you look at the linebacker depth, like if something does happen to, say, to Patrick Green or Landon Roberts, you have a lot of faith if Peyton Wilson can go in there. You created some really good, I mean, even Corey Trace, until he got put on IR yesterday, like, you were feeling really good about him going in at certain moments. I mean, Beanie Bishop, you created a lot of depth with young players too. That's hard to do. Usually you get one, maybe two guys that have a significant role or have significant production in their rookie year. I mean, a lot of their young players in the last 2 years have played a lot. Think of the last two drafts and how many guys that play or have a significant role on this team. That's a really good job by Omar Khan and Andy Weidel.
Herbig, JPJ.
Darnell Washington.
Darnell Washington's a massive part of an Arthur Smith team. Keanu Benton from that draft. That's a hell of a draft.
Yes, it is.
I think I saw Donnie yesterday put out a Twitter poll. Who's going to be the best player from that draft? That's an interesting conversation. I feel pretty good about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make an argument for any one of those guys, Herbig, Benton, JPJ. And Darnell Washington, all he does is what he's asked. Like, I don't think he's going to get the notoriety. He's not going to be a household name around the National Football League. The other three guys could be, but all three very useful players. Very useful players.
Broderick. Is he in that draft?
Yeah, Broderick Jones.
Yeah.
Man.
It's pretty good. To have guys in their year two or year one to play significant roles like that?
I'd probably say... Man, it's hard. I'd say probably JPJ, such a valuable thing. Hey, you go get that guy. They haven't had that. Like, even when they've had good corners, they didn't have the follow him around the field guy. And that makes things so easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have to worry that Ja'Marr Chase is going to go off. He might get his, but is he going to kill us?
Is he going to get enough?
Right. Is he going to go out there and destroy the game? Is he going to go out there and be like AB? Like what AB did to, who's it, Chris Harris, the cornerback from the Denver Broncos in the no-fly zone. That's what they were called, right? The no-fly zone?
I think so.
Whatever. And AB goes out, has what, 200 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Yeah, so I'll go with JPJ, but I mean, there's not one of those guys where I think arrow pointed down after this weekend, the way Broderick Jones played. That's four really good, useful players. You're right about the depth. We talked coming into the season about slot corner, about wide receiver two. Slot corner's been fine. Number two wide receiver, we've already talked about that. The other position we talked about was, are they going to be okay in the defensive line? I think they're okay there.
Well, the Ogunjobi being healthy for the first time, I think that's very important, clearly, that because you could just see what type of player he is whenever he is healthy.
Yes.
Like, he is worth the money.
I wanted them to get him when they got him. Like, I thought that was a hell of a move, and you buy low on a guy that failed his physical in Chicago, and look it, he has not been great the last 2 years. But it's not because he's not good, and now that he's healthy, and really you've got to prove it now, he's been very good. And I think Martavis Adams is pretty good. All right, coming up next, talking about depth, you said you really love Herbig, and you would give him more snaps basically going forward than Alex Highsmith. Well, there's another guy I want to see, too. Let's talk about that. When we return, you can give us a ring on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. This Steelers roster dissection is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. There's another Steelers player I'd like to see more of, and I'll tell you who that is in a minute. But this sort of just hit me while we were talking about the depth, and you were going through, boy, even at inside linebacker, they got all this depth. And you think about safety, where you've got Killebrew, and you've got
KZ. You got Edmonds.
Terrell Edmonds now. Excuse me there. Who's been the Steelers' best non-quarterback offseason acquisition? I mean, like, really think... Like, Justin Fields has been great. So you put him to the side. Russ Wilson is a backup. Pretty good. Deshaun Elliott, Dante Jackson, Patrick Queen, Cordarrelle Patterson. All these guys have really helped. Scotty Miller helps win that game on Sunday. And then you start thinking about draft picks. Zach Frazier has been really, really good. Like, that's a hell of an offseason. Through three games for Omar Khan. But who do you think's been the best non-quarterback offseason acquisition?
It's really hard to choose between Dante Jackson and Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah.
It's very hard. I think Deshaun Elliott's been fantastic. Fantastic. And Dante Jackson, I think we were more surprised by his play than anything.
Yeah.
You know, because
we
kind of
thought
wrote
Elliott
off.
Would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Elliott was going to be good, but Jackson, I was like, that's who you get for Deontay Johnson. And not going to, you know, be ignorant to the situation. Like, it's not like I've watched Dante Jackson play that much. I'm just like, okay, like, the guy was probably going to get cut at the end of the year.
Doran.
I mean.
You're not allowed to do what you just did. You're not allowed to be a radio host and admit that you don't know everything.
Yeah, I have no idea who he was.
I do love that, like, trade deadline.
Yeah.
And you get radio host guy who's like, well, this guy for the Oakland Athletics, you never saw him play.
Well, I don't
know. You never heard of him before. You never heard of that guy. Yeah, Dante Jackson has had a decent career if you hear from the people who covered him. And if you look at some of the metrics out there, using our eyes, now that he's here, he's been really, really good. And Mike Tomlin had a great line yesterday in the press conference. I wonder if it's in here. I wish I had pulled this first. Talking about his corners. And he said one guy's small. And he was talking about Dante Jackson.
And one guy's young.
One guy's young, yeah. One guy's young, the other guy's small. And because of that, you don't want to heap too much praise. You want them to kind of have that chip on their shoulder. Both guys have been good. I know Joey Porter Jr. maybe wasn't his best of the three games this last week. But, man, I look at this offseason and I think, where was the misstep?
Receiver.
Huh.
It would have been A-plus offseason if you got the receiver that you wanted, or at least a legit number two. Didn't even have to be Ayuk, but...
Touche.
They did draft, so I kind of will give them that. They did draft a receiver.
Yeah.
But...
Who they won't play.
Right. Like, whenever they traded Deontay Johnson, they got Dante Jackson back, and I think they got a pick back. Like, that next move, to me, should have been immediate of how are we going to replace that production.
Yeah.
And they had their eyes set on Ayuk, but still, like, underneath Ayuk, it's like, we got to get somebody.
Yeah, you have to have a drop-dead date for where you say, we're done with Ayuk and we're moving on to something else, and they needed to have that lined up, and they didn't.
And not somebody that, you know, had their best year in 2021. Like, they got three guys... that had their best years in 2021, Quez Watkins, Scotty Miller, and Van Jefferson. Like, I think that they all had their best years then.
You're right. And, look, Van Jefferson, I'm personally, like, done with. Like, I put him in the corner. Scotty Miller's a good football player. Calvin Austin III, I think, is a good football player, returning punts. Like, I think he's going to break one at some point. Like, I think he's going to have a punt return touchdown this year. I like watching that guy return punts. We saw Scotty. He's just useful. These are useful guys. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
You need a guy, mm-hmm. though, at number two. But Deshaun Elliott has... The Steelers have had holes in their defense the last few years. Still, statistically, good defense, but they've had holes. Deshaun Elliott, man, is just solid.
Yep.
And it goes under the radar. Dante Jackson, man, has been just solid. And then offensively, look, Cordarrelle Patterson is what he is. That's another good, useful football player. Who they can dress in the game, knowing that we can dress four wide receivers and be okay because he can catch a few balls.
Yep, and running backs and kick returners. Like, he can do it all. Like,
right.
You need players like that. And Mike Tomlin did address that a little bit in his press conference yesterday. Guys like, he calls him CP, guys like him and Hayward, Connor Hayward, being able to do multiple things helps you out in so many different ways.
Yeah, it does.
And saves you spots.
And we talked about the flexibility of this roster. Like, one of the questions I wanted to get to today, maybe we'll do it tomorrow, maybe we'll do it with Doug, we'll see. We're thoughtfully non-rhythmic. I don't want to soothe you with hypotheticals. Who knows where this smooth jazz show goes over the remainder of our 2+ hours here, Doran. But it's this. Like, do I feel better about the Steelers? Or do I just feel better about their situation because I look around the AFC and I think the AFC is not as good as we thought it would be? Like, not by a country mile. I think the AFC North ain't anywhere near as good. And the answer is both.
Yep.
The answer is just simply both. I think Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, over the course of the last few years, have done a good job of they have stars, but they've built a good football team. Like, you can only have so many stars, but guys like Elliott and Jackson and Patterson and maybe DeMarvin Leal, like, they just fit their roles. Like, Darnell Washington, he ain't Antonio Gates. But he fits his role. They've just built a solid, maybe not great, but they built a solid football team.
Isn't it funny how things play out, though? Like, you build these things and things on paper, and it's like, this should work. And, you know, and sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does work. But whenever you have, like, legitimacy that are calling the shots and making the moves, you know, it's hard to ignore right now 3-0. Like, it's hard to ignore. Like, whether you feel like they did a good job or not and have the role players or not and guys that aren't superstars just doing a little bit within the offense, doing a little bit within the defense, Andy Weidel was brought here for a reason. You know, he had a lot of success in Philadelphia. He was groomed here early on in his scouting career. Omar Khan's been here for 20-some years. Like, 3-0 is 3-0. You know, people get mad all the time. Like, well, they didn't do this. Well, they didn't do that. Well, they still look like this. I'm not sold on field. 3-0 is 3-0. Like, you're winning football games in the NFL. That is so hard to do to start that way. We haven't seen that. When have they started that way?
Right.
When's the last time? Like, the undefeated season?
Not since COVID year.
Right.
Have they started
3-0? It's very, very hard to do. It sets you up really well. It sets you up where you're not in a place like you're the Cincinnati Bengals, and you're scrambling, and you're meeting with your quarterback as if you're the head coach, and your quarterback is meeting with you, figuring out what were we going to do.
CeeDee Lamb just apologized for his performance and on-the-field demeanor. You could be 1-2 like Dallas.
Exactly.
You could have a brewing disaster going on like they do in Cleveland.
It lets you address the important issues in a different demeanor, in a different manner, whenever you're 3-0 compared to 1-2 or 0-3. Definitely different. It actually makes you feel better about addressing the issue.
Sure.
It makes you feel better because you know what? We have issues. Every team has issues, but we have 3-0 issues.
Yes.
It's different.
Yeah. Two road wins?
It's different.
Those things are like gold. Like,
don't know what's going to happen at the end of the season, Crowley.
No, I don't know.
Don't know how the season's going to go, but I know that this start is very significant.
It is, and I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. Like, at some point, you're going to lose a football game. That's just the way it works. Like, things you think you know one week, you find out the next week, maybe it wasn't true. Maybe the answer's somewhere in between. But I will restate again, for the record, best offensive lineman out. They're playing with the quarterback that they viewed as their backup. Their most explosive running back's out. Seventh highest paid player is out, who you just paid a bunch of money to be the Batman, to be the Robin to the Batman of T.J. Watt. Your starting right tackle's out and your number three wide receiver, and here you are at 3-0. With a great point differential, you've allowed the fewest points in the league, and your stiffest test, you just beat by double digits. Just saying. Coming up next, there's a player I want to see more of on Sunday. And while I say I don't know what the outcome of the game is going to be, I do think we're going to see more of this player. I should have mentioned before that Twitter poll, which non-quarterback has been the Steelers' best offseason acquisition? That Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. It's the 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We got Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette coming up next. There's a guy I want to see in this game, Doran, and I think we will see a lot in this game. And that's one DeMarvin Leal, who, if you think about it, the Steelers' defense has barely been on the field for 3 games. In the second half of this game, they were on the field for like 10 minutes. And so even though Alex Highsmith got hurt, you're not really having to rotate your outside linebackers as much as they have in the past. So we haven't seen a ton of Leal. Well, what's Indianapolis going to do? They like to chuck that rock deep. They like to run the football. I think Herbig, like we talked about yesterday, can set the edge. But I think in early down run situations, I think we might see a healthy dose of Leal. And this is another one of those guys we're talking about who, like, you can mix and match depending on opponent. You're going to have, you know, big-time running teams in the AFC North. in Baltimore and Cleveland. Maybe Leal plays a little bit more in those kind of games. I think we're going to see him, and I'm excited to see what he might look like.
He's done a fantastic job of floating between positions. I mean, going in as a defensive lineman and then, you know, playing some outside backer. You know, he's done a good job, and that's, like you just said, another one of those guys that has that versatility that Tomlin said yesterday. He did name Leal as well.
He did.
We talked about Hayward, talked about Cordell Patterson, guys that could do multiple things. He's going to have a big role in the games moving forward. I mean, even with Dallas and, you know, every team wants to establish the run, he's going to have a legit opportunity. And mixing and matching him and Herbig, and even if he does go and give T.J. Watt a spell a little bit, like he can step up and do this. You know, he can be a significant piece to them potentially winning this football game on defense.
I think so. And Alex Highsmith, really good run defender. You don't want to run the ball at T.J. Watt, but just about, you know, first series of the game, got Jonathan Taylor. Let's run the ball at Herbig. Oh, Herbig's not. Oh, they got a defensive end slash outside linebacker who's a big old hoss out there. I like the idea of that. Especially then, bad down and distance situations. You're trying to block Leal. Then all of a sudden it's 3rd and 12 and all that. Nick Herbig comes in, who's like a little. He's like a spinning top. Yeah. Good luck with that. All right, we'll talk to Ray Fittipaldo about this and other things when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full term, sunchevy.com. Today, high 75.